Okay, could you start then with your name, address and date of birth?
My name is Peter Davis. I'm age 58. 18th of April, 1955.
Lovely. What was the name of the village?
Ponkey.
Ponkey, okay. Is that near Wrexham?
That's just Rose.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Just the bottom of Rose. But there's Rose and then there's Ponkey. It's a big village, but it's sort of combined, but it's two different villages.
Okay.
They joined, but the bottom half's Ponkey and the top half's Rose.
Okay.
So people get mixed up with it is, you know.
Right. And can you tell me something then, I mean, I know you're Nesta's son, could you tell me something about your background, sort of just for the tape?
Well, my background, I left school I left school a bit early, actually, and got a job in what they call the donkey works, the brickyard in Roehaven.
Right.
And I started there at 15. And I was there for a couple of years. I left there and went to work on a farm. And then I went back to the brickyard. And I worked there for another couple of years till I was about 17 and a half, 18. And then I went into the building trade.
Right.
And my money went up from about £8 a week in the brickyard to £1 an hour in the building trade.
Did it?
So I stayed in the building trade then for a few years.
So why did you leave school?
Well, when I was in school, I wasn't good at school because I'm dyslexic. In them days, they didn't know what dyslexic meant. So they put you at the bottom of the class and the low class in school, and they never bothered me much. I didn't go to a special school. A lot of people that did that was dyslexic. But I bluffed my way through, in other words. So I didn't like school. Right. So I didn't go very often if I could help it. I had the wag catcher after me quite a few times, you know. So anyway, I left school a bit early. They didn't even notice I'd gone. And I got a job before I actually left school.
So how did you get the job?
I just went to the office and asked if there was any jobs going. Mm. And I'd left school, I told them, but I hadn't left school for a few months, but I'd started work. They took me on because they thought I'd left school, but I hadn't actually left school for a few weeks, months really.
Oh.
And I started in the brickyard anyway. And
so you didn't go back to school?
I didn't go back to school, only for the last day that everybody was leaving.
Right.
And just to show my face.
So what did your parents think about that?
My parents didn't know after things I got up to.
So when did you know?
But it was, like I say, the brickyard was a place they wouldn't employ anybody. It was like, there was a joke, there was a sign on the gate, trespassers will be employed. So you could get a job in the brickyard if nowhere else around here.
Is that why you went there?
Yes, that's why I went there.
Where was the brickyard? The
brickyard was in Roehaven.
Right. You were living in Roehaven, were you?
Yeah, we were living in... Plasmatic then, weren't we, when I left school?
Yeah.
And but there was, all the brickyards were open then. There was 1, 2, 3, 4 brickyards in this area within miles of each other.
Right.
There was McGuinness's, Harvard Brickyard, and there was another two, I can't remember the names now, but I worked in them all individually.
Right.
I went to the one in Trevor. Worked in a quarry there, filling drams with clay, shoveling in a quarry into the drams, into the trucks, and then they'd go up to the crushers and be crushed and made into... that brickyard was Gannister, it was called. It was for the kilns in the ironworks to plaster the kilns to dry the bricks and things.
Mm.
Do you
remember what the reaction was when you came home and said you got a job? And you weren't going back to school?
Off my parents?
Yeah.
Well, they were quite proud of me that I had the initiative to go and get a job, I think.
How did you feel?
Because I used to work, when I was in school, I'd go in the school holidays and work on farms, baling and such things like that, you know. So
because you liked work or for the money?
It was for the money more than anything. It was, and I like work better than school work, you know. So.
So what was it like, the brick factory?
The brick factory.
Oh, sure.
Well, it was hard, very hard work, very dirty.
Oh.
No showers, no canteen. Very dangerous work. Quite a few lads I know got killed there, you know.
Oh, really?
But, yeah, a couple. The once the kilns blew up, a couple of lads were killed. A few was killed. One lad, mate of mine, was killed on a fork truck, run into the back, into his back. Another one was killed on a dumper, got crushed.
It was not very.
It's health and safety wasn't as good. I mean, it was like long, dark passageways you had to drive down, you know, and wasn't very well lit, and other trucks had come out in front of you, and it was like the wacky races, if you like. I was driving a electric truck, and then there was diesel truck, fork trucks, gassed fork trucks, and diesel dumpers, all using the same narrow track. So you sort of, it sort of become a, we all knew what we were doing, and we'd miss each other by millimetres going past, and the faster you could go the better. But we were young, so it was like a game at first, you know, but very dangerous.
So when these people were killed, did the company go to court over it? Was there any sort of compensation for them?
Yeah, I think there would have been for compensation for them. It all depends whose fault it was. They'd go. It was obviously the company's fault. But in them days, there wasn't anything like that. That it was different than it is now. There'd be a big inquiry now, but there wasn't so much.
You nearly got killed, didn't you?
No, I nearly got killed, trapped under a wagon once.
Did you?
I backed a dumper in under an Arctic wagon, and somebody was coming in front of me, so I put my dumper in reverse, backed up, and I went underneath the wagon, and there was no guards on the dumpers or safety guards or anything, so I was pushed underneath the trailer. Down onto the steering wheel of the dumper. So I was lucky enough. I got my foot on the clutch. I managed to stick it back into forward, and just get myself out. I was bruised, but I wasn't badly hurt.
Yeah.
But I was very lucky.
Yeah.
Another lad done the same and got killed.
Did he?
So later, after I'd left there, I heard that way.
So what year did you start there?
Well, I'm 58 now, and I was 15 when I started in the brickyard. So, I don't know, you have to work that one back. I can't do it with being dyslexic. I'm not very good with months and years.
And what was your, what were you doing there?
I started off working on what they call the mill, steam mill, which used to fetch the raw material in from the quarry along, like, small railway tracks, and then it would go up into a crusher and be tipped in all the clay, and then it would go into the rollers and crushed up into this big steam mill, and then the steam mill would mix it up with water and oil, and then it would come out the bottom of the steam mill as clay, and then it would come out into blocks, and then you'd stack it onto a truck, which I used to drive the truck, and then take it down to the drying rooms, and then it would be unloaded by another two people in the dark drying rooms where the floors were all hot, so they'd be all stacked on the floor, and then that'd be dried, and then after it's dried, after perhaps a week, the other lad would come along in a big dumper then and pick them up off the floor, chuck them into the dumper, and take them to another part of the factory to be turned into tiles.
Right.
For it to go through another machine to be turned into tiles, and then the girls would be on the presses then, sorted on like oil tables. The tiles would be made in the presses, and the tiles would come out onto a big flat stainless steel table with oil mix on it, so they'd slide around, and the girls would stack them onto other trolleys, and then the men would come and wheel them trolleys out to the kilns.
Right.
And then they'd be dried in the kilns for a few days, and then the other lads would come, once the kilns had cooled down, take them out of the kilns, and they all on piecework they would be on the barrows that they're called, and they'd load the barrows up and they'd run with them, and then take them to the packing sheds for the women to come and pack the tiles right. and send them away.
So you called it a brickworks, but it was a tile making factory.
Yeah, it was at first it started off as making bricks,
right.
rather than red bricks.
Okay.
Which is famous all over the world.
Was it? Okay.
Like this house is made of Roehampton red bricks. This, mm-hmm. We're talking about 100 years ago then. And then the call for Roehampton red bricks died out, and they started making Everbrown tiles, which were famous worldwide.
Right.
They're all over the world. Wherever you go, you'll see Everbrown tiles and...
roof tiles, were
no,
they?
No, floor tiles.
Floor tiles.
Floor tiles.
Oh, okay.
Mostly floor tiles. They did used to use them on walls as well, but they're world famous, the Roehampton red tiles and bricks.
So is it the same company then, the roof tiles, sorry, the floor tiles?
Dennis's Roehampton. Yeah, it was the same company, but there was another firm making around here making the same bricks as well, which is down in
McGuinness's,
and there's another brickyard down in by Newbridge. What was that called? So, but I think it was all owned by the same
right.
Dennis's Roehampton. Mm. There was two brickyards in Dennis's Roehampton.
Okay.
There was one in Johnstown and there was one in Roehampton itself.
So was it quite a big place then?
Oh yes, it was a main employer around right. here. There was probably a couple of hundred people
was
working there at the time,
oh.
yeah.
So you mentioned there were women and men.
Yeah, so I mixed women and
so
men.
So what did the men do and what did the women do?
As I say, the men would be in the actually doing the kiln work, drying the tiles and making the tiles, and then the women would be mostly packing the tiles. But there was one or two of the women used to drive the fork trucks and different things.
Right.
It all depends. It wasn't just because it was an easy job for the women to pack the tiles. It was just that they were better at it, probably.
Right.
But, yeah, some of the girls used to work with us as well. Like.
So was there more men than women, or was it equal?
I would say it was equal.
Right.
In the brickyard, yeah. Probably was equal. But a lot of... they were all mostly school friends that all... We were like a big community.
Right, so you knew people.
Oh, we all knew each other.
Right,
and
okay.
There was some men that's been there years, obviously longer than us. The older guys, and then there'd be all the young people that left school that couldn't get jobs anywhere else. They'd all end up in the brickyard because you could get a job in the brickyard.
Right.
But it made it that it wasn't a nice job, but we used to have a good laugh there. You know,
what was the atmosphere like?
Oh, it was brilliant. You know, we were all friends. We'd all the end of the week go out for a drink to the local pub.
Right.
All meet there, the girls and the lads, and. But the pub we were in, everybody knew we were there, because even though we were dressed in our best clothes and we'd had a shower and put our perfume on and everything on aftershave, and the girls the same, when you walked in that pub you could smell us. The brickyard smell was on us.
Was it?
And it'd be coming out of your pores. It doesn't matter how much you cleaned yourself, you could smell anybody else coming in the pub or the brickyard lots in.
So what was it like? What sort of smell was
it? It was like an oil mixed with clay.
Was it?
So it was a very potent smell, you know. We couldn't smell it on it, but other people that didn't work there could smell it, even when we were out for a night out. If a gang of us was in a room, they could smell the brickyard. But we used to... But, you know, it used to have a lot of fun, you know, a lot of fun working.
So what was the relationship like between the male workers and the female workers? Was it banter or was it sexism?
It was... Oh, the women was terrible with the men.
Were they?
We were scared stiff of them. It was more the women who was worse than the men, a lot worse. But
Did you get comments?
There was always a lot of banter between the girls, and if you had a chance, 5 minutes, you'd go up into the press room where the girls were working and have a chat with them, you know.
Would you?
Or you'd sneak up there to have a chat with them. I met my girlfriend there, and my first wife worked there when she was 15, 16, and her mates worked there. My first wife was very intelligent, she was a very clever girl, but she didn't try very hard because she wanted to go to work in the brickyard her other mates were working there.
Right.
So, you know, so they all wanted to work together. So there'd be a big gang of us that knew each other from school and courting days. We used to go out with each other and different things.
Was it
things.
Quite a young workforce then?
It was a mixture, mixture, yeah. There was, this old Polish chap working there from the war, you know, he'd be working, doing a real donkey job. And he'd been there ever since the war. So there was a mixture from people in their 70s to people 15, you know.
Right. And did everybody do the same hours? I mean, did the men do the same hours as the women? Or
yeah, more or less, yeah.
Did they?
It was 8 till half hour the hours was at them times. So there wasn't shifts when I was working there. So, yeah, we all done the same hours, all started the same time.
And you said there was no canteen. You had a lunch break, presumably.
Yeah, we just there was a bit of a shed there. We used to always sit in, or everybody'd find their own place to go, you know.
Right. And did you have an official lunch break?
Oh yes, you'd have your half hour, dinner hour, perhaps 10 minutes in the morning and half hour in the afternoon.
Right.
And then you'd work through to the hooter till the bell goes, you know.
Did you have to take your own tea and coffee in?
Oh, yes.
Did
I
you?
Had to take,
they didn't provide anything, did they?
No, they didn't provide anything like that. You used to take your own snapping.
Right.
And you had to watch your snapping box, otherwise somebody nailed it to the table, you know, or something like that, as a joke. I'll put somebody in it that shouldn't be in it. But, yeah, it's it was hard, really hard work, though. You know, it was grafting. But you used to enjoy it, you know, you'd enjoy the hard work of it. There was a few cushy jobs there, but most of the jobs were hard work. If you were running the mill, you wasn't sort of physically working hard, it was just mixing water with the clay and oil and knowing how to do it, you know. So you'd start, like I started off driving an electric truck, they used to call it the transoms. And they'd be on charge all night, ready for, with big batteries under the seats, and they'd pull a little truck, and that would be sort of putting the raw material on the clay when it's come out of the mill. So you'd start off on that, learning to drive that, and you'd have to be learn how to back it up and put it into the bays and things, and you started off on that, and then they'd learn you. Out, you'd go with somebody else to learn another part of the job. So
they gave you training then?
Yeah, they give you the training. You'd end up on different jobs. So that if somebody was off, you could go and do their job.
So you'd
have your job, but not every day. You'd be relieved one day you come to work, because you get bored doing the same thing all the time. And they say, oh, you were on the electric mill today, or you're on the steam mill today. With another lad, you know, so you go and learn that job.
So did you enjoy changing from
Yes, you did, aye, because it broke the monotony up of doing the same thing every day, so you did enjoy doing something different. Like.
Did you pick up the new things pretty easily?
Oh, you knew how to do it.
So as you got more experienced, did your wages go up?
Yeah, some jobs were paid better than other jobs.
Right.
There, you know, or some of the lads would be on piecework, which they'd be on more money because they'd have to work faster to make their money.
Right.
And then other jobs were just day work. You know,
right. Were you on piecework?
I was at the end, but by the time I'd learnt everything there and. I had a few disagreements with another lad then. I finished, and you did used to get a few fights and things with the men, you
did
know.
You?
Different people disagree, but mostly it was mostly personal thing, nothing to do with the work, you know what I mean?
Were you physical fights?
Oh yeah, I had a physical fight there. Yeah. My nose broke twice. but that was a sacking offence. But I did get finished. Me and the other lad that had a fight there, and but they did take us back.
Did they?
About 12 months later.
So they sacked you for fighting?
Yes.
And then took you back?
Took us back after.
Right. Yeah. What were you fighting over?
Oh, it was a girl.
Was it?
One of the girls in the presses. But it was a girl, but he did pull out in front of me and on his fork truck. I was going down this ganistry and he pulled out in front of me and I said something to him and he said something to me and then he followed me and then I stopped and I was jumping off my dumper and he'd already got off his fork truck, so he got the first one and broke my nose. But,
so you had to go up before the bosses then, did you, the two of you?
Well, I went to hospital.
Did you? Oh.
But yeah, I was in hospital for a fortnight with that.
Right.
Getting my nose straightened.
So did you not go back to work at all then? That you did?
I went back after a couple of weeks and then we were both disciplined.
Oh.
And then we were both finished for it, you know.
Right.
And then I started back there 12 months after that. And I was there for about 12 months again. But then, obviously, this building job come up. And I went to work in the building trade then, which on demolition work for a building firm.
So how did you feel about being sacked?
I wasn't really bothered.
Were you not?
No, I just went to another job. You could pick your job. It was quite easy to get work then.
Even though you'd been sacked from somewhere?
Yeah. Don't even ask you.
Right.
As long as you can do the job in them days, you were all right. I went to, I think, British Tissues then to work for a while.
What was British Tissues?
It was making boxes of tissues.
What was it?
I worked on a production line there for quite a while.
It was very different work then.
It was, it was clean work.
Yeah.
So that was nice, you know. Yeah. And I was working on the machinery there, feeding the tissue through the machinery where it got cut up to put into boxes and different things. And I quite liked the job, you know. And I got to know it quite well. I used to fix the machines and everything, you know. And then the fitters there asked me to go with them because when the machine broke down, I'd mend it and I shouldn't have done. I should have left it, called the fitters out. The fitters were sitting in there. They loved it because they were just reading their papers. They had no problems. They were happy. And they asked me to go with them. And I said, I'd like to be a fitter. And they said, well, you'll have to go to tech once a week. And that, so as soon as they said that, I said, no, I like working on the line. But I only said that because I was dyslexic and I didn't want to go to tech.
Okay.
Because school work frightened me straight away. Because in them days, you didn't know what dyslexia was. Yeah. You just couldn't read and write. Yeah. And, you know, and you felt a fool. You know, you used to hide it from everybody. And so I told them I couldn't do it, you know. I wanted to stay on. I didn't want to be a fitter then when they said I had to go to tech. So I stayed there for, I think, I was only there for probably 12 months. I can't remember, 12 months, something like that. And I broke my leg on my motorbike. I had to finish there because I was off work for so long. Like, and I don't know why I didn't go back, but I think I went somewhere else to work after that. Ruby Owens's, I think, in Wrexham, which was steel, making steel work and stuff like that, you know, on a press there. I stayed there for a few months. I can't remember too much about Ruby Owens's, but after that, I went to the hospital. I was a porter in the hospital for a few years.
So you didn't go back to the brickworks?
No.
You didn't at all? Okay.
After that, I had two spins in the brickyard, a bit of a short break from the brickyard, and then I went back to the brickyard till I was about 18, I think. And then I finished there. And I went to work in the building trade, demolition work. And I must have stopped that for a while.
It's just test you,
I went to, I said about pretty, I can't remember, you know, what dates I went.
Mm. It doesn't matter about the dates. You were in the brickworks to start with.
Yeah, that was
then you had
first,
the fight.
Sure.
Then you went to British Tissues.
Yeah.
Can you remember?
Then I went back to the brickyard for a couple of years. Then from the brickyard, I went into the building trade.
Right. So your first time round in the brickyard, can you remember what you were earning?
I'm not sure if it was £8 a week or... I think it was about £8 or £4 or £5 a week or something like that. The first, and that was about 40 hours a week. Like,
was it?
Yeah. Because I didn't. That was when I was 15. And then 3 years after that, I went from £8 a week to £1 an hour demolitioning.
Right.
So the money was a big jump, you know, from the brickyard to working on the building trade was. Well, triple the money though I was earning in the brickyard.
Mm. And in the brickyard, you've already said the sort of health and safety wasn't very good. I mean, did you have protective clothing or ear protection or?
No. You used to take all your own clothing and.
Did
that.
You? They didn't provide
no,
you with an overall or gloves.
With gloves or
boots
or anything. No, no.
Nothing.
No, there was nothing.
Right.
You used to buy all your own clothing.
Did you?
Never give you anything like that. I mean, there'd be guards on the machines and that, but they obviously wasn't up to standard because quite a few lads had their fingers cut off and
did
crushed
they?
And got trapped in the rollers and different things, you know. But
what were the management like? Did they just not care about things like that, or?
I think they did. They there was always a foreman watching over you. You know, he'd be just standing in the mill house. Just watching everything working. He wouldn't be working, he'd be just standing there watching you.
Right.
And he was always approachable.
Mm.
John Cole, his name was, my foreman. And he was always approachable or helpful. If you had any problems, you'd go to him and he'd help you.
Mm.
He wasn't a nasty chap, like. But it was different.
Mm. When something like if someone had their finger off, what would happen?
There'd be a first aid room.
Right.
Which you'd go to and there'd be a first aid man in there. And then they'd phone an ambulance to take you to hospital. They'd patch you up, you know, until you get you to the hospital. It's like when I had my nose broken, they took me up there and then got me straight to hospital.
Mm. But did that go into a log book? Was it sort of officially recorded?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I really wouldn't know. I don't think it did.
Mm.
I shouldn't think so.
Was there a trade union then?
Yeah, I think there was a union. Mm. I wasn't in the union, I don't think, but I can't remember much about a union, though, to be honest with you. So I'm not sure about that. I'd have to ask other friends, but I'm not sure about that, to be honest.
And when you went to British Tissues, you said already it was cleaner.
Oh,
the other differences?
Yeah, it was a big difference.
Was it?
The health and safety and everything was different.
Was it?
In British Tissues, yeah.
Was that in Wrexham, was it?
Yeah, that was on the Wrexham Industrial Estate.
Right.
But, it was a lot different.
Was it? But was the sort of the working, the routine the same? Although you were on the production line, weren't you?
Yeah,
you were
it wasn't the same at all.
Right, okay.
Completely different routine. Ah. You were doing one job there, sort of thing, and that's what you were trained on, and that's what you stayed on.
Right.
But the brickyard, especially the one in Trevor, it was like going back in time when I worked there.
Was it?
You know, it was, like I said to the bosses, they put me in the quarry filling the trams with clay, with a shovel and pick. And I had one man, had to keep the old brickyard going.
Right.
I'd fill it in the quarry, as the drams would come past you, and you'd have to fill them drams up, and that would take it all up to the main factory. And if you didn't fill them, the old factory stopped.
Right.
And there was only one man down there doing it. And when I said to the bosses, I'm sure we could get a machine to fill these drams, they said, oh, we'll get you one. And they promised me every week they'd come around, the bosses, in their suits, and down to the quarry. I'd be there with flies flying around my head, sweating, filling these drams up. And they promised me, and they never did. So in the end, I walked off that job, you know.
Did you?
I went to, there was a little pub on the corner. I went in there in the afternoon. I didn't come out. And they come looking for me, asking me to go back, you know, because I was doing a good job doing it. But as soon as I walked off the job, nobody else wanted to do it because it was too hard.
It was the case you could just leave one job and walk into another. Did everybody feel it was that easy?
Well, the work was easier to get in them days. I think it was easier to get. It wasn't good paid work, but there was more factories around here then. Mm. You know, there was more places to look for work. But now it's a lot harder now for the young people to get jobs. I think.
And was it the case that you had interviews, like in brickworks?
Yes, you'd go and have an interview. Yeah, you'd have to have an interview to start.
Right.
And in
a tissue factory as well, you had an interview.
You always have an interview to start. You apply for the job and then they interview you and say, yeah, but they'd usually tell you there and then, you
would
know.
They?
Yeah, you can start next Monday. Or when can you start? You know, they wouldn't say we'll let you know. It was usually there and then they'd tell you in the interview.
Okay.
You know, yeah, we'll give you a go or whatever. But
you spent most of your life in the building trade then
The last 30 years probably I've been.
So is that because you didn't want to do factory work anymore, or the money was better?
I think it was a case of the money more than anything. Like I went to work in the creamery for a while. No, first I went to work in the hospital as a kitchen porter, and then I went to work in the milk marketing board, which is called the creamery. I worked there doing the gardens and I had my own greenhouse and things. I used to do plants for the offices and things like that. So that was quite a good job. And then I was finished there, made redundant. And then I went to work for myself then, landscape gardening.
Okay.
And I worked with my uncle as a little business landscaping for a few years after that. And now I work, I'm self-employed working for myself, plastering, bricklaying, roofing, painting and decorating. Whatever you want to do, I'll do it for you. In the building trade, I picked it all up more than anything. I'm all self-taught, put it that way.
Just before we finish, can you tell me a little bit about the tissue factory? Because it's one we haven't heard of. What was it like as a factory, and were there men and women there?
Yeah, there was men and women there, and it was very, very clean, and it was a good factory. It was all right. It was.
Did it have a canteen and proper facilities?
It did have a bit of a canteen. It was a bit of a surprise when when I went there. Oh, canteen, you know, and it did have showers and different things there if you wanted to use them.
Right,
but. And they did supply gloves and overalls and what you wanted.
Was there a trade union there as well?
Yeah.
There was?
Yeah.
Do you remember?
I was, I think, yeah. Okay. At the time. Yeah, I was. Yeah, I think it automatically, somebody come to you and said, you're joining.
Right. Okay, you have to.
You're going in this, and that would take it out your wages every week.
So that was an automatic thing.
Okay. It was like no choice. You're joining the union, or otherwise you're not working here, sort of thing.
Right.
It was like that in them days. It was, all the factories, Firestones and places like that. If there was no chips in the canteen, the scouts would go on strike. But yeah, big union. Then the unions come in at that time. You know.
Okay.
Big union. Places.
So were there more women than men in the tissue factory?
I would say it was half and half.
Was it?
There, yeah.
Right.
Definitely
okay.
In the tissue factory.
Yeah.
I can. And that's about it, really.
Lovely.
I don't think I've been very helpful to you, girl, but